Hey up there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 368. This is going to be a great episode. We have a ton of content to talk to you about tonight. We're going to try and cram it all into our standard 30 to 35 minutes, hopefully on the early side of that, since it is quite late once again as we're trying to attempt to record this show. But yeah, it's been kind of fun here this past weekend, as per usual. I think I should stop saying that it's been kind of crazy, because that seems to be the overall vibe around here at the Caffeination Lair and in any one of the available weekends that we've had recently. We had the boys' birthday party and my wife's birthday party all wrapped up into one awesome little occasion. Everybody came out. It was one wonderful. It was fantastic. The only thing is the house was kind of a little bit in shambles, so it was kind of like a birthday party in Sarajevo, except during the bad times. So yeah, it's kind of fun. We got a lot of stuff working now, and now that there's no parties or anything on the horizon, it's kind of out in the open. There's no deadlines looming over, so as soon as the deadlines pass, everything's kind of smoothed out and kind of eased over. The Caffeination Podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Find all the other member shows lovingly listed over at techpodcasts.com. If you're looking for my show specifically, and you'd like to find more episodic content, please feel free on heading on over to www.caffeination.com. BeingCaffeination.com, the Caffeination Podcast, figured that would kind of work out. All right, any comments, feedback, suggestion, or hate mail, you can fire that off to caffeination@gmail.com. Before we get too much further, I did want to make mention that the Caffeination is proudly sponsored by the fine folks over at GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting is a wonderful piece of software, and that allows you to do a lot of different things and do it well. It allows you to do the first thing, which is save time and money at the same period in time. Saving time is one thing, saving money is another. But it's really easy to conduct your meetings, to conduct your business over an internet connection with this. I mean, they have voiceover IP included in the software. It's obviously a meeting software. It's GoToMeeting. And it allows you to do really, really quick and simple presentations, product demos, whatever you have to do. You can do it from the comfort of your very own computer, from the comfort of your very own room, and get everything up and out the door and done on time and under budget. It really allows you to kind of condense your workday down into just the parts that matter. So GoToMeeting is one of those pieces of software that really kind of increases your productivity while not actually adding any extra overhead to your day. It's really a fascinating piece of software, and I highly suggest that you head on over to www.gotomeeting.com/tech podcast to start your free 30-day trial. That's www.gotomeeting.com/tech podcast for your free 30-day trial. All right, we're going to be moving right along here at a relatively good clip. Hopefully everything's going to work correctly here on today's show. There's a lot of stuff that needs to be talked about. We have a bunch of really cool news and brief. We have a little bit of GeekCraft, and then we're going to head on out. It's the showdown in the food and caffeinated bits section. I'd like to first of all send a huge thank you to Hens out at the Sounds Good podcast. It's a podcast specifically for people interested in audio engineering. And if you are running a podcast or of your own, you owe it to yourself to listen to this show. It's really mind-boggling the amount is allowed to kind of cram into one little segment. The last show that he did, episode 26, runs somewhere around 25 to 30 minutes. It's 25 minutes and 17 seconds. And the amount of stuff that I've learned just going back over and playing it. It's an enhanced podcast, so you kind of have to watch as you go. But it's really, really worth it. It's a fascinating show, and I thank so much, Hens, for playing my promo at the end of last show. And as he played the promo, we got into a little bit of discussion. I asked the question that every person would want to know. How does this show sound? So I got a couple little tips from Hens on how I could sound a little bit better. So if you notice any good things about the quality going from here on out, or if you notice bad things, please feel free in letting us know. Either way, you can see his podcast over 37hertz.net. That's 37hz.net. I love the little inside joke with the sound kind of bend to it right there. And we're always interested in what you think about this show, caffeination@gmail.com. Next little link that we have up for you here is from over at talkinator.com. This is a interesting interesting piece of equipment that one of our listeners, James, sent in. Thank you so much. This is a way to actually put a chat box up on your webpage without installing anything extra. You don't have to have anything running. It's easy. You can just have everything up front and personal there. And if I could ever boil down every Sunday at 10 o'clock I was going to do the show, or every Wednesday at 10:30 I was going to record. That would be great, because then I could just say, hey, you know what, everybody come on down, and we're going to be doing the show at that period in time. I'm going to be taking questions. I mean, I might try and set some stuff up, but I was never able to actually really kind of pin it down to a specific time. You know, real life gets in the way of podcasting sometimes. All right, now the next little thing that we have up for you here is for the love of a floppy disk. It's kind of a interesting little... It's an interesting little story that I actually found. I kind of just wanted to share with the group here, because it's one of those things where you're looking at it and say, that really can't be what they're talking about. But this is a reward poster being posted for a missing floppy disk drive. Last seen at his garage for at 37 whatever street. The drive has been in the family for years, has obvious sentimental value. Scratched on the side, also gum. If you have find or if you have or find, please return. There will be a reward. And then it says, what kind of sick mind take people's floppy drives? I don't even care about golf clubs or wheelbarrows. Do the right thing. So I have at least one professor who has an unnatural attachment to his floppy drive. I'm going to have to make sure that he's not a crime before showing him the link. But obviously it's a little bit out there. It's probably a joke. Nobody actually uses floppy drives anymore, right? All right, moving on to the next little thing we have up for you here. It's a great little video link. I don't know what else to say. It's a man playing the theme song from Inspector Gadget on a set of hanging bottles and a little bit of a kick drum and a couple other things. It is probably one of the strangest things that I've heard actually put together, but it really kind of works with the material that it was given. So without further ado, here's the Inspector Gadget theme song, and you can head on over to randomgoodstuff.com to check out the rest of the other awesome stuff that they have over there. But this... And it just goes on from there. So I just wanted to share because I thought it was pretty funny and I wanted to see what other people thought of it. But at the same point in time, it's like, okay, it's just a little bit odd. Has a definite street musician vibe. So I just thought it was kind of one of those interesting things. This is in the news and brief section. So let's just pass it along and hopefully... Next little thing we have for you here in the news and brief is PodCamp Philly over Pod. Is going to be dropping on October 3rd and 4th. So if you're going to the Philadelphia area during that period in time, I kindly beseech you to come up to university and engage in some wonderful podcasting love. It's going to be a great event, and I got to tell you, more often than not, I hit like a right around now. Every year as I've been doing the show, I mean, 368 episodes, hopefully that it actually gets done, but 368 episodes, you got to find ways to make the content new and fresh every time you try it, and the best way to do that is actually attend events like pod camps and bar camps and other things like that. Really kind of puts fuel back in your tank. It kind of gives you a new lease to create good content and create it consistently, because sometimes you might get new ideas. Somebody might say, hey, have you tried X, Y, or Z? And actually create, or somebody might tell you about a fantastic plugin that reduces the size of your audio or cleans up things, and you never really know. And the other thing I think is the best part about going to a pod camp is that even though podcasting is relatively mainstream right now, a lot of people have heard of what it is, not very passion for it that a lot of the content producers do. And when you get a bunch of content producers in the room and they're starting to talk about podcasting and stuff like that, you can finally open up and let your geek show about it. You can say, hey, I was worked out. What I'm trying to say here is that they kind of tend to advance the overall directive, whereas if you're kind of just sitting there alone in the room, there's nobody to bounce off ideas. There's no too excited. So every time I attend a pod camp, I always feel really a little get up and go after the fact. So I would hope that you would be able to pod camp Philly at October 3rd and 4th. support that Temple University if you happen to be in the Philadelphia area. All that out. It's going to be a great time, I guarantee you. All right, here is the Hue test from over at xrite.com. We kind of jumped sections there and didn't say anything. That was the end of the Geek Cruft section here at the Caffeination Podcast. All right, FM 100 Hue test. This is an interesting little test with four lines of colors. One going from kind of a pinkish salmon to kind of a weird dark yellow. Next line going from a darkish yellow to kind of like a line going from kind of like a cyan to a light purple, and then going purple back to the salmon color. These are very, very tiny between the color tiles. Each one of these rows is made up of I'm just guessing here. I don't want to actually sit here and count them out, but approximately 20 chips that are all colored very differently. So the thing is, the way that they have them lined up right now, you can easily see chip A is different than chip, but the idea is not to make, you know, the chip A and chip B different. The idea is to try and get a ordered row from one to the other, so that you actually go from that color that's on the left to the color that's on the right, and you kind of put all the little pieces in the correct order. Once you start getting the obvious ones out of the way, it becomes really hard. You kind of have to, you know, see how good of an eye for color you actually. When I took the test, I got a 4 out of 100. The lower number, the apparently I'm only an incredibly tiny amount colorblind. 1 in 12 women blind to some certain degree, and it actually shows you which area of the color spectrum color deficiency in. So make sure you're on a good monitor when you actually try this. This thing, I love playing around with this, and I know that now looking through this, I know that I have a slight issue trying to discern yellows and greens, I think it said. So out of the entire test, I think I ranked somewhere in the 89th percentile for men in my age range. But so you can kind of do the whole thing and check it out. It's really kind of fun to sit there and play around with it. All right, next little thing, we hear Tetris Head over at the Behance Network. I'm not entirely sure what would be completely crazy over Tetris, except maybe the song that goes in there. But somebody actually crafted a 3D sculpture entirely out of the pieces that are used in the iconic game Tetris. And I just wanted to pass it along because I thought it was awesome. It's only half of the head hollowed out, but it really kind of speaks to what goes into the mind of some people who are kind of crazy for Tetris. I know my wife at periods in time kind of gone overboard. She really likes Tetris. Puzzle games in general enjoys, but I've never gotten like crazy above and beyond with Tetris. I always did that with other things like matching games, but never really Tetris. I don't know why, but Tetris always got very frustrating very quickly. All right, moving right along to the Think Geek t-shirt. This is over at the thinkgeek.com. It's a brick construction t-shirt. The idea behind this is that you can do anything with this t-shirt. It's only $7.99, and it actually has a Lego like actually imprinted on the t-shirt, so you could build different constructs. The thing is, I don't know if the base plate that's actually on the t-shirt is movable. So if it's movable, you kind of have to build your shirts flat and then try and put them on. Because I can imagine curvy people and you know, stretchy shirts kind of don't mix when you're trying a rather hard and fast subject such as this. But I wanted to pass it along because, I mean, hey, apparently it's only available for a limited time. So if you're the kind of person who wants to walk around with a Lego construct built onto your you know, jump on the chance over there. All right, next little thing that we have is a mission-style PC case hides the raw power underneath. I am a huge fan of modded computers. I specifically computers that really don't look like they're computers at all, but kind of fade into the background of a room. Talking to my wife as we're redoing our kitchen, I thought it would be a fascinating, fantastic idea if I could, you know, take like one of the small cabinets there and actually build like a small PC into it. So that way, you know, we'd be able to go online, you'd be able to look up recipes and everything, one of those silicon keyboards down, you could do a whole bunch of really interesting and fun stuff. But that's not in the cards quite yet. We have a couple other things we have to take care of, but this is the kind of thing where you could have this sitting in your living room next to TV and nobody would ever notice that it was a computer, because it's incredibly well done. I could actually see this kind of fitting into the decor at my parents' house because they have a lot of mission style dining room, but this is just really kind of stunning what it is. It's a complete custom job, so there is 366 pieces of hand carved wood that have gone into this. I always wonder what people mean when they say hand carved. Do they mean that, you know, rather than using power tools to cut every single angle, that they actually used a handsaw, or if they make it away with a knife? But Either way, it's an incredibly stunning piece. There is no way you're going to be able to get one of these in time for Christmas. There's a list to actually get Jeffrey Stevenson to create one of these for you. I just thought it would be fun to pass along. All right, in the same vein and at the same site, again from over at Tom, Pico Bayard Art Deco PC Masterpiece doubles as a digital picture frame. Somebody found a way to kind of tap into, instead of the Mission Furniture style aesthetic, into the Art Deco aesthetic, into a computer screen. It's a little bit of a thick screened idea, but the everything is here. There's no keyboard, everything's touch screen, so you gotta love that. The only thing that I don't like about touch screen computers like this is the keyboard. You have to actually use Windows keyboard to do it. Point and click your way around to a bunch of stuff. This is the ideal solution, something you could put in a kitchen if you have an Art Deco kitchen. But I only an 8-inch LCD screen, so it's not too bad on the experiments. Everything's kind of bundled up into one frame, which makes it really kind of interesting with. All right, moving on to the last little PC that we found up for you here, from things that kind of blend into the background to things that are showpieces, we have one that moves beyond anything. Stargate motorized PC is a case from another world. Again, from a bunch of really cool stuff. This is a giant pyramid PC case that actually reveal a LCD monitor on the inside. There's not much I can say with this except it replicates one of the ships from Stargate. That's pretty much, as soon as you're replicating from something from Stargate, you know you kind of better to kind of stand out from the crowd. So this is done incredibly well. A lot of interesting little light effects and interesting little texture effects that the light plays off of. So I wanted to pass it along because I thought it was fun. Hopefully you enjoy that. All right, right along, the next little thing that we have for you to talk about is a little girl throws a ball back and the MLB throws in beds away. Now, everybody out there has ever heard of this, but there's a interesting little phenomenon that happened last week, and for Philadelphia Phillies fans, you got to see it live. A father in the stands, right in the second level, the ball hit, and he reached over, made a fantastic catch, and a lovely scooping catch. He hands the ball to his 3-year-old daughter, who picks up and throws it back over the side, and his reaction after that is priceless. He goes, "Oh no." No, and then he gives her a nice, huge, big hug. She's been on Good Morning America. It's just one of those kind of things. And it also kind of the fact that, you know, baseball kind of appeals beyond just the hardcore sports nuts. You can show up at a game, and there's kind of a really nice, easygoing atmosphere that exists, even in Philadelphia, believe it or not. But what kind of struck everybody about this is people were posting this clip on YouTube. This is a piece for baseball as a whole, you know, for MLB. And to say, okay, this is a fun time. They were at the ballpark. I mean, it's one of those things where you say, you know what, I might be able to experience something like that if I were to go to the ballpark. And what they did at that point in time was they started issuing takedown notices for infringement because it happened at a baseball game. Somehow they thought entitled to every little scent of publicity. And then, even though they have their own video player, which, you know, at a certain, you know what, fine, as long as you have your video player and you're allowing people to share it and they're going back to the source, then yes, you are the copyright holder of that broadcast and all the rights in they're in, so that's all well and good. But they actually disabled embedding on their own video player, so rather than help cut down on what they considered to be piracy by being the only source of information, they made people go to their webpage specifically to see it. The purpose of blogging, I mean, you could have like a screenshot at that point and send somebody over there to watch it, but it needs to be immediate. The web is all about immediacy, and you need to actually be able to play it in order for it to really truly attain viral status. And if they like it or not, really would like to have video go viral. It's just they're kind of shooting themselves in the foot there. So I give the father a huge win on this one, the Major League Baseball a huge fail on exactly how they went about doing it. All right, we've been talking quite some time about James May, the of Tiger fame, and his attempt to build an entire house completely out of Legos, and he completed it. There was a huge number of 1,000 volunteers that actually did this. It was built in the middle of a vineyard, UK, and it was lovely. It was wonderful. The only thing that I kind of I guess the only thing that I really don't like about it is that the outside of the house is, like, horrible. And it really does speak to what Legos actually are, because it's very easy to build hideous design with them. But everything inside the house was actually of Legos, you know, from the cat that he had in there to newspapers, to beds. He actually slept in the... one of the knights found out that the house was not, in fact, waterproof, and it was all well and good until the vineyard said, okay, you've had your fun, now we'd like... That was all well and good until it turned out that Legoland decided, since he didn't use their engineers to build a movable structure, that they weren't going to actually take the house and actually put it up there. So now the only thing that's going to happen is they're going to cut apart the structure with chainsaws. Yeah, this fantastic volunteer-based effort in Legos, under a whole load of other issues that are out there, actually give the Legos away, since they were donated by Lego itself to actually create, give the Legos away because it would dilute Legos, their bottom line on it, so he could only give them to charities, which is all well and good, but somebody has to dismantle this thing now. So there's an article over at dailymail.co.uk that stipulates, hey, if you'd like to get into contact with somebody, you can email rebeccapictures.co.uk if you would like to take the house. You'd be responsible for moving it out, and they'd be very appreciative. And then you would have several million bricks of Legos in your backyard. So I thought that was kind of fun and wanted to share with the group. All right, next little thing here, the second to last little story we have for you in the GeekCraft section here at the Caffeination Podcast, is Steampunk Futuristic Cities, Homes and Factories, from over at WebUrbanist.com. Now, this is an interesting little collective of what people consider to be steampunk. And I actually just saw Nine, the animated movie. The funny thing is, there sounds like there should be more to the title. And there probably should have been, because, you know, Nine and then District Nine recently came out. There's a whole bunch of things with the word, or with the number nine, that floating around right now, that it kind of made it a little obtuse to try and pin down and say, hey, yes, this is what I'm going to see. But the entire world was built kind of like off a steampunk clockwork kind of aesthetic. It was kind of a post-apocalyptic vision of what would happen if the machines rose up against us and nothing was left after the fact. It said life would go on. But, you know, that was what I consider to be an incredibly accurate rendition of what would, you know, like a steampunk slash clockwork kind of aesthetic. Some of the stuff that appears over at Web Urbanist is almost but not quite exactly unlike what steampunk would be. I mean, some of it is very, like, dead on. It's like a giant, propeller on the top of a building. Other things kind of just took inspiration from different little pieces of machinery and grew a house out of that. So I like looking at architectural renderings on what people would think, how a design aesthetic would play out on a larger scale, but some of these are right on and some of them are right off. So I just wanted to share with the group. Hopefully you would find them interesting. All right, and the last little thing that we have for you here is a pet emergency evacuation jacket. I'm not sure how many of your pets out there actually call for emergency evacuation jackets, but there's everything that Fido could need in one of these things, and you could just strap it on there. There's complete with a Mylar jumpsuit. There's a little hood that you can put on them. There's emergency rations, there's medicine, there's a whole bunch of other funny things, and I think there's even a ball that's wrapped up in a little plastic bag. It's just kind of fun, and I wanted to share with the group so you too can have your very own pet emergency evacuation jacket. All right, moving right along, we are heading on into the food and caffeinated bits here. We're going to run down these and then hopefully get you out and on your way. Up first is a wonderful article by a gentleman who runs the Caffeination Podcast. That would be me. It's the Freese Coffee Saver. And before you get on into this, Freese is F-R-I-I-S, Coffee Saver, S-A-V-O-R. So it's not a saver, S-A-V-E-R. It's a savor, like you are attempting to savor the coffee. The idea behind this is I was given a demo unit to test out for free and wanted to check out and make sure if all the claims were actually up to snuff. Now, I'm not going to spend a huge amount of time on this, but the article is quite long and in-depth, so hopefully you can head on over there and read it. It's a It's a coffee canister, same kind of thing that you would imagine, you know, setting on a countertop wherever you stored coffee. It's a stainless steel brushed, it's a brushed stainless steel finish on the outside with a lovely little black top. The funny thing about the Freeze Coffee Saver is that the thing that makes it unique from all other coffee storage canisters is that there's actually a semi-permeable seal that is included in the top of the canister that allows carbon dioxide and excess air to actually be pushed out of it while keeping moisture and other forms of free-flowing air on going back in. So it kind of equalizes the pressure once you have all the coffee in there, and it keeps your coffee fresh for longer. The two claims that they have was it prevents a buildup of carbon dioxide inside the canister, and that it keeps coffee at peak freshness for longer than traditional storage. So what I did was I devised a test to hopefully kind of see if I could figure out a way of saying this, and inside each one of these things you actually get 6 replacement filters, so that's 12 months of being able to use these things as it's actually requested that you change the filter every 2 months. But I gave you a little bit of a science lesson about carbon dioxide and a couple other things, including a lovely little graph of how the thing goes together. I gotta tell you, it actually worked. I took some kind of less than standard quality beans from the local supermarket, put half in the container and then half in a standard glass jar, and then I made espresso out of them after a week. So then I made espresso out of them after 2 weeks. After a week, you could start to see the separation in quality. The stuff that was in the Freeze Coffee Saver, believe it or not, stayed a little bit fresher, a little bit nicer, and the stuff that was in the glass jar, not so much. And I mean, they weren't fantastic quality beans to begin with, so you can only take whatever conclusions you want from that. And then moving along down the line, at 2 weeks, the difference was much more noticeable. In fact, the coffee from the glass jar was just pretty much flat and stale. And then after about a month, the flat and stale the coffee from the Freeze Coffee Saver was actually flat and stale. So it extended the lifetime of the beans. And if you're not somebody who enjoys coffee as frequently as I do, I would highly suggest you actually get this. And again, for home roasters, I think it's actually a really, really good investment, because it allows you to kind of you roast up your beans, you throw it in the container and slap the lid back on it. You don't have to worry about an overabundance of you don't have to worry about an overabundance of carbon dioxide kind of permeating your beans and giving it a flat quality coming out of the roast. If coffee beans kind of give off a lot of excess carbon dioxide, especially right after they're roasted. So in order to keep things as fresh as possible, a lot of places that ship the coffee beans actually give you that tiny little seal that's actually in the bag. This is a way of finding a reusable format for doing that, and I highly suggest these things. These things actually worked pretty good. I was a little bit skeptical when I went in, but for more information, a little bit of Mr. Wizard stylings, you can head on over there and actually read the review. Just go to finishing.com and scroll down a little bit. Or you could look up the show notes for this show specifically. Alright, next little thing we have up for you here is Badass Coffee is just a little too offensive for a Thousand Oaks. They're talking about a mule. That there's nothing else to say. Yeah, it's actually a coffee location that has over 53 locations in the United States, but apparently in Thousand Oaks, Alabama, they took offense to the fact that it said Badass Coffee, even though there was a donkey on the actual label. So, they received enough complaints, so they've changed from Badass Coffee, which has a nice little brand recognition. You're sitting there looking at it saying, okay, I understand exactly what it was. You know, it kind of stands out from a crowd. And that they're actually gone to a completely less interesting brand name. Sorry, it's so unmemorable that actually it takes some finding in the article. The new brand name is actually Royal Aloha Coffee, which sounds pretty much like any other coffee that's out there. And the interesting thing about this is that it's actually named after donkeys. They said the people native people of Kona, Hawaii, remember the days when the badass ones' bellows of donkeys could be heard echoing through the mountains as they hauled heavy loads of coffee up and down the mountainside. In honor of these hard-working donkeys, we named our coffee company. So the legend of the Kona Nightingale lives on right here at the Badass Coffee Company. So that is directly relationed. It even has a fun little story. In fact, Wandel Valdez himself rode in on a badass. So there you go. Hopefully that's not too offensive for people. But hey, you know, I'm all for calling a donkey there. All right, moving right along. As I was researching a bunch of articles for this week, I came across the Flickr stream from over at Sweet Maria's, and they they have a lovely little picture of the history of coffee chart. It's a history of the migration of coffee, so I kind of, and how it spread throughout the world, and I think Louis XVI's actual vital role in the spreading of coffee cultivation from the old world to the new world. So, coffee actually originated in Ethiopian highlands and traveled all over the world from there. So it's kind of interesting to see the spread out on this. And this kind of put a little bit of a bug in my ear. And it's like, you know what, using this chart as a basis, I'm pretty sure I could kind of make an awesome poster. I just need to kind of figure out how I'm going to do it. So as I migrate down the graphic design way, I'm going to be asking for some feedback and how exactly you think it's going. So let me know what you think. I'll be posting links as I continue to work on. And then the next little thing that we have for you here is drink green coffee to lose weight. Seriously, unroasted coffee. They're suggesting that people grind it up and drink it. I have not done it as of yet. I'm going to give it a shot this week. And, you know, I try things so that you don't have to. I'm expecting it to be to taste nothing like actually coffee. I'm expecting it to taste incredibly bready and kind of a little bit grassy. I can't really... People are trying to compare green coffee to green tea. I just don't think that it's going to taste anywhere near as good. However, the scientific results so far that people that drink green coffee over a period of 4 weeks have apparently lost somewhere around 4.45 pounds compared to the people who drank regular coffee, where they only lost 0.3 pounds. So if you're looking to, you know what, they were probably losing weight because it was kind of very unappetizing. It's kind of like, you know what, if you're drinking pure vinegar, you're probably going to end up losing weight because your stomach's not going to want to put anything else in there. I'd like to see a little bit more detail on exactly what went on. All right, and then the last little thing for you here, Jones Soda Company is actually releasing a Dungeons & Dragons themed soda, so I thought that was pretty fun and wanted to pass it along. They have five new flavors that are out there. Potion of Healing, Sneak Attack, Bigby's Crushing Thirst Destroyer, the Eldritch Blast, and the Dwarven Draught, or Dwarven Draft, depending on how you want to pronounce that. So either any one of these will add +2 to your constitution for 1d4 rounds. Thought it was fun, and passing it along to the rest of the group. Thank you so much for listening here today at the Caffeination Podcast. This has been episode number 368. A lot of fun's been had, and if you're looking for this show, please head on over to www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com. That is where all of the lovelies in technology news and caffeinated bits live. So thank you so much for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.